Hey, welcome to the show. How you doing? Good to see you. Today is the summer solstice. Today is. It's the beginning of summer. It's when the planets align with Jupiter and your pants fit perfectly. All that stuff today. This is the longest day of the year. Already, it seems like it, doesn't it? It already seems like the longest show of the year. The longest day of the year. Today is actually 72 hours long. Can you believe that? It's absolutely true. It's the longest day ever. It's hit a record because of climate change. You could walk to China, all the way China, and you could walk all the way back all on the same day. That's how long today is. It's a very, very long day. You can get a lot accomplished today. You can actually take a shower. You've got time to take a shower and work out. It's the longest day of the year. It's like it never ends. It never, ever ends. This is going to go on for a long time today because it's the longest day of the year. It's the first day of summer, which means immediately, because the first day of summer, now you can wear white pants. Immediately. That's the rule. I didn't make it up. It's in the Bible. It is. It's in Genesis chapter 7, volume 2, line 3. Thou shalt wear white pants after the first day of summer. It's right there, man. If you're religious at all, you know that. Oh, don't tell me. I know my Bible. I know what it looks like. It's in every drawer in every hotel room that I ever bagged a woman. Every single drawer. Every drawer. Today's the longest day of the year. It's amazing, isn't it? So let's start the show, because this is the longest introduction to the show.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Oh, don't try this.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
This already feels like the longest day of the year.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. It's the longest show of the year.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. You're a pleasure to hear the voice of on the longest day of the year. This is also the day that my legs are the longest. This is the longest leg day of the year. Did you know that? Absolutely. Absolutely. I should have sex today because that would be the longest. You know what I'm going to mean? Huh? That's what I said. All right, that's enough. Along with the first day of summer, oddly enough, temperatures in the West have been extraordinarily high. Phoenix, I believe, if I'm correct, and I could be making it up, but I don't think I am. Temperatures in the Phoenix area hit 120 degrees. That's hot enough to boil water if you left it out on the longest day of the year. That's hot. Are you kidding me? 120 degrees? You can't even go outside in 120 degrees. Oh my gosh. Las Vegas today will have a high of 114 degrees. Seriously? Are you kidding me? 114 degrees where people live. Death Valley, actually. And you know why they call it Death Valley? Take a guess. You don't have to be a winner on Jeopardy to figure out why Death Valley is called Death Valley. It wasn't because people love it there. Where do you want to go on vacation this week? Let's go to Death Valley, where they die. Let's go there. That sounds like a wonderful place. Let's stay at the Death Valley Hilton. It sounds wonderful. Why would you? I don't know, man. I'd be scared if the temperature was that high. This is actually a heat wave. On top of it, it's not like one day it's going to be in the hundreds. This has been going on for a week, and it's not over yet. They don't see any end in sight just now for temperatures going below 100. Are you serious? At what point does your house start melting? I mean, come on. I hope you don't like ice cream, because as soon as you take it out of the refrigerator, the freezer, you're going to melt right away. That's hot stuff, man. How can your air conditioner keep up with something like that? Oh, your electric bills must be through the roof if you still have one, if it hasn't melted yet. How's your wife? Oh, she melted on Tuesday. I'm sorry. We didn't bury her. We just keep her in a glass. In the blender. She's melted. She actually melted. You know that Wizard of Oz thing with that witch melting, the Wicked Witch? That actually happens. People are actually melting. Oh, it's not immediate. First your hands melt off, and then your elbows start drooping. And before long, it's you've totally melted. You have become an ingredient in a blender energy shake is what you've become. It's hot outside. You could actually crack an egg on the pavement out there, and the egg would actually fry. I wouldn't suggest eating it, because by the time you pick it up, you yourself have melted. That's hot. That's hot stuff. I would rather have temperatures below zero than temperatures of 114, 120 degrees. Are you kidding me? I can always put a sweater on. I can always put a coat on. I can put on 5 coats if I want to fend off the cold. I can add layers to me. When it gets hot, 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 what am I supposed to do? Start taking layers of skin off? What do I do? How do I get cooler? I can't put anything, I'm done. I can't take anything off. I'm standing here butt naked. I'm sweating like a pig. What am I supposed to do? I mean, you would figure, you know, brownouts, you know, I've lived through some of those. Brownouts are where the electricity, it's so hot, everybody's running their air conditioner, the electricity, the grid can't handle it. So there's a power outage. What the hell do you do then? It's 120 degrees out. I've got no power. I've got no fans running, no air conditioning, nothing. If I take a dip in the water temperature is 110 degrees. That's like taking a bath in a pot of spaghetti water. What am I supposed to do to keep myself cool? No, let's say keep myself alive. Get in the car, take a spin down to Death Valley to cool off. What do you do? Extreme heat, man, that's bad. That's bad. I don't know how they do it. I really don't know how they do it out there. People in California, you know, any day now there could be a big earthquake, the big one. And you got a San Andreas fault there. It's his fault. That crack going to open up. That's one kind of crack you don't want to deal with. Going to open up, and the half of the country is going to fall into the water. I couldn't live with that. What do you do in an earthquake? What do you hold on to? What do? Jump in the air for a lot of times until the thing stops? What do you do in an earthquake? If the earth is rumbling beneath you and things are starting to fall down, what do you do? What do you do? Nothing. you just stand there and go, uh-oh, I'm done. I couldn't live out there. Just the idea. You want to make dinner reservations for 7 o'clock? We'll make them, but if there's an earthquake, I can't show up. So let's make the reservations for 7 o'clock if there's not an earthquake. If our house has not fallen on our heads by 7 o'clock, we'll make it down to the restaurant. How do you plan anything? How do you plan anything? What do you do? And then it never rains, but when it does, there are mudslides because they build houses in California on hills. There's a lot of hills in California, apparently. I mean, what if you go out to dinner and then you come home and your house is gone? Where's the house? No, it slid off the hill. Oh, damn it. Damn it. Now what do we do? Imagine your house sliding off the hill. That's probably not good. What is home insurance like out there in California? How much does that cost? You've raised the rates on my premiums. Yeah, because your house could fall off the hill. So we figured, you know, we got to raise the premiums here. So because anything could happen in this area, and we're sorry about that. But looks like your house could fall off the hill. So. Same with auto insurance. My premiums went up. What's the problem? We've had a lot of cars fall into the earth, into the core of the earth. Because they're losing a lot of cars. They're just swallowed up by the ground. So we're going to have to raise your premiums. You understand, don't you?
I guess so. I guess so. I suppose I do. I guess.
As part of my job doing this show... This is a total lie, by the way. Part of my job is to keep you informed so that you don't have to go through the things that I go through. I'm holding in my hand a large roll of black tape. On the inside, it says Made in the USA. That's nice. Congratulations. But that's not the point. The name of this tape is called Flex Tape. You may have seen the commercial on television. The most prolific part of the commercial is they saw a boat in half. It's a gigantic big rowboat, and they saw it in half into two equal halves. Then they take this flex tape, which I'm holding in my hand. This is it. It looks like black electrical tape, but it's very thick and it's very wide. Comes in a roll. In a television commercial, they saw the rowboat in half. Then they take the flex tape and they tape the two halves together. The boat goes in the water, and this guy who's in the boat says, "And it even floats. And it even, look, no leaks whatsoever. I've repaired my boat. It was sawed in half with tape, with flex tape." And we all go, wow, this is an incredible product. Well, here's what happened to me, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I have an irrigation system. Yes, I know. I know what you're going to say. You have an irrigation system? That's nice. And there's a pipe that comes from my water supply inside my house or wherever it's coming from. The pipe goes to the irrigation system so that my lawn can look wonderful. By the way, the town that I live in has water restrictions. I can only water my lawn twice a week, two times a week, on specific days and specific hours. I don't know why the hell I have an irrigation system if I can't use it. So, okay, fine, whatever. I believe in conserving water, so that's fine. Anyway. All of a sudden, this pipe on the outside of my house started leaking and spewing out water. And I looked at the pipe, and there was a crack on the side of the pipe, and water is spewing out. And I called the plumber, and the plumber says, well, I can't get there until tomorrow. I said, well, I don't want to shut off my water, my whole house and stuff. I can't use anything. I can only water my lawn twice a week, and I'm missing all the watering times. So I go to the store, and I buy, I actually went to Walmart, by the way. I had to wear a disguise because I'm embarrassed to go to Walmart. Not that it's a horrible store, but the one that's near me in my neighborhood, I don't really want to be seen. So what I did was I tried to dress like everybody else. I wore a plaid top and striped pajama pants. That's how you dress when you go to Walmart. You find the ugliest clothes you can. You can't even call them clothes. They're actually like pajamas, sweatpants that have food stains on them. That's what you wear when you go to Walmart. As a matter of fact, they won't let you in if you dress too well. Excuse me, sir, you're wearing a shirt and tie. Get out of here. Go put your pajama pants on and get some stains on it, man. You want to shop here? Follow the dress code. Look sloppy. Come on. Look like you don't care. Come on. And come back then. And I went to the As Seen on TV section of the store, and they have a big one, baby. And I see the Flex tape, and I'm saying to myself, this is what I want. This is what I want. Because if you can stop a boat from leaking in the water, if this stuff can actually hold a boat together and not leak, it's certainly going to stop the problem on my pipe temporarily. So I buy this roll of Flex tape, which is considerably expensive. It's about $20, something like that. I don't really remember. I was in a panic, so I didn't really care how much it was. I take it out of the package, I follow the directions, I turn off the water, and I wrap the pipe very, very tightly with this Flex Seal black tape. And it's very sticky, and I'm figuring this could actually work. Here's a product that might actually work, my God. And I'm taping this pipe up. I'm taping it high above where the crack is and far below where the crack is to make sure this water is not leaking out. It is so tight, this tape around this pipe, it's married to the pipe. And I'm saying to myself, my goodness, I'm restoring my faith in products that are made in America and everywhere else. And I go down the basement, I turn the water on, and I go outside. Now, the water is not spewing all over the place anymore. No, instead, it's trickling down the side of the tape. So it's still leaking. Water's still coming out of it. It's just that the tape is redirecting the water to the bottom of where I taped. This thing's still leaking. Now I'm in a quandary. Okay, this tape can stop a leak in my pipe, but it can actually hold a boat together. In the television commercial as well, they have a large tank full of water and a hole in the side of the tank, and water is spewing, like shooting out of the tank through this hole. And the guy in the commercial tears off a piece of tape, takes the tape, dips it into the tank where it's leaking, and actually puts the tape on the hole in the tank from inside the tank in the water. Not on the outside, from inside it, which is impossible to do. Anything sticky when it gets wet isn't going to adhere. This stuff does, and it stops the leak. How is that possible when it doesn't stop my little pipe from leaking and trickling water? What? Is this a total scam? To me, yes. Yes. Because it didn't work even on a little leak. And yet in your commercial, you tell me you can repair a boat and water spewing from the side of a tank. A water tank, not a military tank. That probably wouldn't work either. Unbelievable. So I do this as a public service. You can buy as many rolls of Flex tape as you want. It also comes in a spray. Apparently, you can spray this on things, and it repairs cracks and leaks and things. I also bought a can of that because I'm stupid. And I'm going to return. I opened up the tape, so I can't return that. I mean, it could, but I used half of it. Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to return the can of the spray adhesive, though, because I'm sure that won't work. I'm going to do that later today because it is the longest day of the year and I have plenty of time to do it. But I have to change into the worst looking clothes I have with paint and sperm on it and stuff and semen. I have to dress down to go to Walmart. Otherwise, I'll get beat up in the parking lot, I guess. I don't really don't know. Or they won't let me in the store again, something like that. I guess that's the best thing that can happen. I mean, if you can avoid the stuff that I've gone through, then I guess this has made everything worthwhile. People say I'm grumpy. I'm not grumpy. I'm not grumpy at all. What I am is I've been used. I've been used, and I don't want people to use me anymore.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Everything seems so violent these days, doesn't it? And with, you know, the little terrorism things, big terrorism things, and, you know, cops and people on the street, and it just seems everything's violent, and everybody's angry, and everybody's pissed off, and with social media, we know how many people are pissed off and how often, and it's just, I don't know, things just seem to be going through the roof as far as that's concerned, but our guest today says, no, it's not what it really seems as far as violence is concerned. Let's talk to him now. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Great, thank you. Steven Pinker is an experimental psychologist, one of the world's foremost writers on language, mind, and human nature. He's currently with Harvard College, currently a Harvard College professor, Johnston Family Professor of Psychology at Harvard University, and he's done everything, I think. We're talking about something, a very interesting topic today. It's Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Actually Declined. And that, I guess, just from face value, is a surprise to most people that it's declined.
It is, because there's no shortage of violence in the news. But, of course, if something has declined, that doesn't necessarily mean it's declined to zero.
Right.
It just means there's less of it now than there was in the past.
Well, I guess it depends on our living experience, because we weren't alive in the days of yore when things were quite barbaric. The thesis is that things are becoming more humane, and it's difficult for us to understand that because, is it because the news is more prominent and we're more aware of the violence that does occur?
That is a big part of it, yes. Now, in a world of more than 3 billion smartphones, everyone's a reporter.
Yes.
So when violence takes place, it can be filmed and uploaded to the internet in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Second reason is that we care more. So a lot of things that happened in the past, we wouldn't even have counted as violence, mm-hmm. and now we do. Like bullying. When I was a boy, bullying was, you know, part of boyhood. Boys will be boys.
Yes.
Now the President of the United States can give an impassioned speech against bullying, and we consider it a new form of violence.
Correct.
But also, if you don't keep track of the numbers, if you just rely on your memory, then you tend to be impressed by what happened this morning and forget about all of mm-hmm. the horrendous things that happened in the past. How many people today talk about the Iran-Iraq war?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that long ago. It was the 1980s. Killed 500,000 people, went
yes.
on for 8 years,
yes.
threatened the world's oil supply. It was a big deal then, and now people have forgotten about it. So they read about a war that takes place now, and they think things have gotten worse, but they don't remember how bad things used to be.
Yeah, I guess. With social media, everybody, in my estimation, I get the impression everybody's angry about something, and they have the opportunity now to express their anger, whether that's psychologically cleansing or not is not the point to me. It's just that I seem to be learning about everybody's anger now. Does anger, is that a sister of violence, or are those two things completely separate?
Well, it's interesting. I have a chapter in The Better Angels of Our Nature on the different psychological roots of violence. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of them. Violence, it turns out, isn't one thing. So anger is a big one. It can, a lot of criminal acts are just impulsive outbursts.
Yes.
If you look at the murder statistics, it's not like what you see on TV where there are people who get shot in drug deals gone sour or in robberies. An awful lot of killings are two guys have an argument over a parking space or who gets to use a pool table in the bar. They trade insults and then one of them is lying on the floor in a pool of blood. So anger is a big one. It's not the only one, though, because a lot of history's big mass murders were carefully and coolly planned. Mm-hmm. The genocide in Cambodia in the late 1970s, which killed 2 million people. It wasn't people going on angry rampages. It was a government policy. So there are one of the interesting things about violence is that if you're a psychologist, it's not just one thing. There's several different reasons.
Yeah. Could there be, in your estimation, a return to violence? Can this scale be tipped the other way?
It could. There are ways in which a lot of violence can happen at once, namely nuclear weapons, whether nuclear terrorism or nuclear war.
Right.
Fortunately, there's not been a nuclear weapon detonated in war since Nagasaki.
Right.
So that's 72 years ago almost.
Right.
And the world is trying to lock up nuclear materials and stray bombs, so it's harder for some of those terrorist plots, like in 24, to come to reality.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one way in which the numbers could go back up. And there are a lot of weapons, and the president has a massive discretion on when to use them. And so that is one reason to worry.
Yes, it's a huge reason to worry. Let's talk about something that's a little bit off the map here. When people go to the movies and they sit in a movie theater or in a chair in front of their television set, and they selectively choose things like horror films, like the Saw movies where people are being mutilated, their body parts are rolling on the floor, blood gushing everywhere. Why are we attracted to that as a form of entertainment? I could never figure that out.
Yeah, and that's not a new thing. I mean, you just look at the Old Testament, and there's an awful lot of gory and gruesome violence there. The story of the crucifixion, that's the most horrific, violent scene in the history of literature. I think we do have a craving to find out about violence. I think the human mind craves information about events that don't happen to us all that often, but if they did happen, they'd make a huge difference to our biological fitness. And then the two big categories of adult entertainment are sex and violence. People also consume, as we know, a lot of pornography. No one has sex that often. No one encounters violence as often as you would in the movies.
Correct.
But if it does happen, it makes a difference. And so we're intensely curious about how violence works. What puts you in danger? What's vulnerable? How do you defend yourself? And we like to see it played out in fiction.
That's kind of sick, isn't it? In a way.
if you think about how seldom violence occurs compared to how often it's depicted, you realize that the fantasies are just a tiny tip of the iceberg. And, and we have one of the reasons I call the book The Better Angels of Our Nature is that we do have this ugly side. We do fantasize about violence, but a huge amount of the brain is designed to repress that. The better angels of our nature. We don't act on our fantasies. We don't walk out of the movie theater and do what we've just seen depicted.
Yes.
That's the salvation of our species.
Right. Although it's touted politically that is possibly a reason for society to be violent, but that might just be a standard response.
I think so. And I think what makes more of a difference than just seeing violence and mayhem on the screen is the morality tale behind it.
Mm-hmm.
That is, who is the good guy and who is the bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in violent movies where a bad guy is perpetrating violence and he's brought to justice, I think that's much safer than if violence is glorified. If you have the political leader, the general, the brave soldier who is massacring people and he's portrayed as a good guy,
yeah.
I think that's more dangerous than just how many people you see getting shot up on the screen.
Huh. Okay, so getting back to the thesis, it's violence is somewhat curtailed or lessened. Curtailed is the wrong word. Curtailed would mean none. Why is there, I mean, there were times in our history where people rose up against violence through marches and expressing themselves in peaceful manner. It almost seems like that road is not taken much anymore. Is it because violence has decreased and we don't need to, or that people have become lax? What's the psychology of acceptance on this?
I think that's right, that as a result of the massive protests against the Vietnam War, mm-hmm. leaders have been much more squeamish about sending large numbers of Americans into harm's yes. way, or Europeans even mm-hmm. more so. There were, when the most recent war between countries that killed more than 1,000 people was the United States-led invasion of Iraq in 2003. Right. There were massive demonstrations against it in Europe, mm-hmm. and there was protest on a smaller scale in the United States. Mm-hmm. But there millions of people came out in the streets in London and in Spain and in France and mm-hmm. in Germany to protest that. Mm-hmm. And even with that war, far, far fewer Americans were killed. It was, the death toll in Vietnam was 58,000. In Iraq mm-hmm. and Afghanistan combined, it's about a tenth that, one-tenth. Mm-hmm. And fewer Iraqis were killed by far than Vietnamese. Right. So wars are conducted now in a way that kills fewer people and arouses less protest.
Yeah. Okay. So the book's available everywhere?
They should be available everywhere in bookstores and online.
Uh-huh. And how do we follow you?
I am my website is stephenpinker.com. I teach at Harvard, so especially for Bay Staters, I'm easy to find. I'm a local.
Yes, indeed. You are a local, but people shouldn't show up at your office. That's not a good idea.
Well, contact me beforehand.
Okay, all right. Yes. Well, let me bring up one more subject before we run out of time, and that's terrorism. It's an interesting thing that we have to deal with in our time that we didn't have to deal with earlier in our generation. But terrorism apparently has been around forever in different forms.
That is right. There were... in the Middle Ages, there was a sect called the Assassins that would in the Islamic world that would kill officials in public and then melt into the crowd. There were the thugs in India that gave us the word thugs. Probably it's increased somewhat just because of the media, because terrorism is a form of theater. It actually doesn't kill a whole lot of people compared to mm-hmm. war or even everyday homicides, but it's a way of getting the world's attention. And as the span of the media increases, mm-hmm. that provides a stage for anyone with a grievance to get the world's attention by killing a few innocent people. But anyone who looks at the numbers on terrorism is immediately impressed at how seldom it occurs. For all the news, it's a news-generating gimmick.
Right.
You have no power, you want to get the world's attention, you kill some innocent people mm-hmm. in a place where people can easily imagine themselves.
Yeah.
But in Western Europe, where there were the worst year in history, there were 175 terrorist deaths. That same year, there were 4,000 homicides.
Right.
So it's terrorism is really a drop in the bucket, even in the worst years, but yeah. it's guaranteed to get a lot of publicity. Yeah.
Does the United States rank one of the highest in homicides?
Yes, on a per capita basis.
Yeah.
I mean, not in the world, because Latin American countries are worse, Southern mm-hmm. African countries mm-hmm. are worse. But we're actually, as far as developed, wealthy countries
yeah.
are concerned, we really punch below our weight. We're much worse than mm-hmm. any country in Western Europe or Canada. This is a country that has an awful lot of murder.
Yeah, apparently. Better angels of our nature, why violence has declined. And it goes so much deeper, and it's a fascinating subject. It's a pleasure speaking to you. I could talk to you for hours, but I don't think I'm allowed to do that. So I guess I have to stop. But pick up the book. It's fascinating. Open up your mind and look into why things happen and how they happen, as opposed to just seeing that they do. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thanks for having me on, Ron.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
That was interesting, huh? I think it was. Therefore, it was.
I do believe in you, and I know you believe in me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But now we've realized love's not all that it's supposed to be. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Knowing that you would have wanted it this way, I do believe I'm feeling stronger every day. I know we really tried.
I've said this so many times on this show, I don't understand. I totally don't understand why human beings are so disrespectful of each other. We've always had differences of opinion. That's normal. That has to be. I mean, if you're not me entirely, I'm going to not have everything in common with you and disagree about certain aspects of things. But when did we lose the respect part of it all? Now, I know there's elements of society that will always want us to be nasty to each other, and there'll be the, you know, the attacks and the violence and the terrorism. I guess that's just going to be. But amongst the rest of us, it's inexcusable. We're civilized human beings that have evolved from little slugs and amoebas and little water creatures. We're humans with love and understanding and compassion and a love of life. How did it happen like this? I thought we would have evolved into something greater by now, but we didn't. Anyway, I guess my one goal in life was to see things get better through my lifespan, and I don't think people are any nicer or any more respectful. I think they're less respectful. I think in the 50s and 60s and 70s, maybe it was phony respect. Maybe it was like, yeah, all right, I got to respect you because that's the law. But now it's not even that. Now it's just express yourself, show your anger, release your anger. It's good for you. Live in a cloud of anger. It's just absurd. Countries are divided. People are divided. Politics divides you. The way you roll your toilet paper annoys me. You know, if I go into a house and I sit on a toilet and I'm going for the toilet paper, if it's rolled, if I have to go underneath to get the sheet of paper, I'm livid. It should go over the top. We all know that, right? What? You don't think it should go over the top, that the toilet paper should come from the... What, are you crazy? What the hell's wrong with you? I guess I let my anger show a little too much right there. But hey, it's toilet paper, man. I mean, those are the basics, aren't they? I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. I don't know about you, but this has got to be the longest day of the year, doesn't it seem like?